Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Welcome, 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 party people. It is Wednesday, November 23rd, and I gotta say, Ev, we're back. It is another beautiful day as soon as I'm on the schedule. I told Luke you gotta give me some fair warning so I can let Mother Nature know, and she will prepare accordingly. It is gorgeous out there again.
You're not kidding, man. We're like, we're like 5 for 6.
I don't count. No, the one day that was terrible, I don't count because, A, we weren't able to give her enough notice.
And were with Luke.
I was with Luke, so it's his fault.
Doesn't count, yeah.
And B, remember, we were supposed to get hit with like 9 feet of snow, and I talked Mother Nature into sending that to Buffalo instead of
poor
us.
Poor guys.
So,
poor guys.
I'm sorry, people of Buffalo. You had to ship off to Detroit to watch your team beat Cleveland, but you know, it could be worse. You could be living in Cleveland year-round. So this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, and more often than it has been in the past, not enough, but William and Evan as well.
Don't talk smack about the Cleve.
I have to talk smack about the Cleve, Ev. As long as they're Cleveland, they're going to get smack talked
about.
You know,
many people dream of moving to the Cleve.
Is that so?
It's true.
See, stereotypically, when I hear stuff about Ohio, it's I can't wait to get out of Ohio.
Ohio, sure. Cleveland's a different story.
That's like the oyster of Ohio.
That's right, man.
That's the golden pearl of Ohio. So we got a fun show today. It's going to be pretty laid back. You know, most people are getting ready, prepared for the holidays, spend time with some family. Luke covered how you can handle some of those family conversations on yesterday's show. But, you know, if you want to call in, throw us a tangent or two, feel free, 844-967-2789. You got anything on your mind today, Ev? How is your holidays coming?
Hell no. It's my birthday on Saturday. I'm going out to dinner. Not doing a whole lot, man. Not doing a lot. Mm-hmm. For me, Thanksgiving sort of takes a back seat as we prepare for the Christmas season when actual amounts of my time are taken, right? I get to take it easy this week.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. It's nice to be able to take some time off and just rest and relax and recover, frankly, from this heated election cycle that, as bad as it was, get ready for 2024.
Because that's what I'm saying, man.
The next cycle's already coming. Robin Voss is already pointing out on Twitter to, hey, young Republicans, if you're interested in running for office, if you haven't already started, you're late. Elections are a 2-year cycle, which, like, he's not wrong, but God, as somebody who's in the industry, that is just soul sucking to hear that.
Yeah, you're basically never off.
It's a 24/7 gig because, hey, democracy's not going to protect itself. The powers that be will always be.
It's also not going to destroy itself. So come on, young Republicans, let's get in the race.
We all have a role to play. So Ev, something I want to touch on real quick because it is just too funny not to, is going back to our old friend Mr. Musk and Twitter. Now, Twitter has been kind of a dumpster fire the past few weeks. He's letting everybody and their mothers back onto the site. Most famous account, of course, being Donald Trump, who has refused to return back to Twitter.
I was about to say, he hasn't even come back.
No, and he's been taunting Elon a little bit on Truth Social, you know, the world's foremost social media platform. Why would I go back to Twitter? Because I have Truth Social right here. Now, Elon obviously has slashed the workforce. There have been some hilarious stories coming out of, you know, people losing access, critical engineers who kind of maintained the entire structure of the org no longer having the ability to do anything because Elon wants to personally review the code that they're completing, even though the guy doesn't know anything about
personally review, as in poach a bunch of, you know, technicians from Tesla to come and review the code.
Yeah, well, and I feel like the entire workforce left is probably people on H-1B visas, right? Because they don't have another option.
Oof,
and
got him.
Musk knows he can just pay them pennies on the dollar compared to what their positions are worth.
I mean, jokes aside, we're talking like more than half of the workforce.
I think it was like 60 or 70%.
No, no, I mean, it was a literal fraction remaining. The guy who runs the card readers to get in the building was fired, and then they begged him to come back so they could get inside.
That's a something that, that's Elon as hell.
On right Twitter. There. Let's be real. Literally on Twitter. Oh, thank you. You're a lifesaver. It's insanity.
The guy's absurd. But it goes farther than that as well. I saw coverage from CNN's international correspondent, Larry, I'm going to mispronounce this, but I think it's Madelwo, who
said
Twitter finally agreed to negotiate with the laid-off African team after the story aired on CNN, which the lawyer for Twitter's African employees confirmed. They were not offered a severance package after being fired via email. They weren't allowed to negotiate their separation terms until it was covered by CNN. The team in Ghana was offered vague severance pay, and this only happened after CNN reported on the plight. Like, Elon doesn't understand that other countries have different rules than the United States do.
He just doesn't care.
And he because he's never faced accountability in his life. He's never faced repercussions or consequences for his actions in any way, shape, or form. I know this was an issue with a lot of EU employees too. They were saying like, "Well, dude, you can't just fire us via email. That's not legally how this works. So we're just gonna, you know, sit around and collect our paycheck. And if you're not gonna pay us for it, we'll get the law involved." And the guy is just so absolutely oblivious to how actual society functions outside of the incredibly privileged bubble that he grew up in. It's stunning that this is now the face of one of the largest media platforms in the world and one of the kind of great uniters of average Americans and average citizens of the planet. You can share information, share stories amongst each other immediately overnight. Elon prides himself on Twitter being, you know, the town square of information. That's the only reason he bought it, was because he wants to control the narrative of the town square. He doesn't want actual free discourse. And we're seeing this with everything that he has done so far, reinstating a whole horde of right-wing advocates while making no effort to curb the hate speech and aggressive rhetoric that these individuals, who were originally banned, keep in mind, for violating the Twitter terms of service. It's not that it was, you know, my free speech. Like, no, you violated the terms of service of a private entity, so your account was banned. And now he's decided that that's just no longer the case. So he does what he pleases, and advertisers have certainly taken note. We'll see how long Twitter's able to sustain itself without their vast funding behind the scenes. But another tweet that I found hilarious that I wanted to touch on quick, Ev, see what you thought if you saw this, was the whole narrative behind Naomi Biden's wedding, right? And journalists all over the board have been freaking out because the press corps, the White House press corps, was not given access to the granddaughter of the president's wedding. Now, obviously, they want access because they want to cover the president. They want to cover Hunter. They want to cover all those things. They don't actually care about the wedding itself. They just feel like, well, it happened at the White House, so we are legally obligated to be covering it and yada, yada, yada.
Sure.
And then it came out that Vogue magazine was given an exclusive, which by that I mean they were literally allowed to come in a couple days early for a staged photo shoot with the bride and some close family members. And now the White House press corps is absolutely freaking out. There was this quote from a senior national political correspondent at the Post saying, "I spent 4 years covering the Trump White House, two covering the Biden White House. It's fascinating that they both lie, albeit very different ways. Trump's team was shameless, where Biden's team is too cute." Like, they're just so angry about this. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Honestly, you can't give the man 5 minutes to celebrate his granddaughter's wedding without needing to have camera crews everywhere, without getting your face in the action, because they're so damn nosy that they have to know everything that's going on. They have to be following, and they have to be able to get their questions in. It's wild. The confidence, the arrogance that some of these people have, that they feel that they deserve to participate in these type of events, is astounding.
Is it though?
No, you're right.
No, I mean, it's really not. It's not. I mean, I do think it might have been maybe too cute by half to get married at the White House, right? It's that appearance of impropriety that we're taught to avoid. as we move through this crazy world.
I believe the official explanation was that it was a lot easier to just have it there.
Well, and not to, I mean, and it was beautiful. And I mean, he's spent his entire life, you know, in service of the country. I didn't think it was that inappropriate.
It's about his granddaughter. You know, she had a beautiful ceremony and everything. I guess the official explanation was that it was easier to have it there from a security perspective than the amount of resources and the logistical nightmare it would have been providing security at wherever outside venue was evidently chosen. I mean, that makes perfect sense to me. Is it arguably inappropriate to have a private event?
I'd say too cute by half, because there are private events at the White House all the time.
All the time. Yes. Yeah. So, you know, to each their own, I guess. I just can't help but laugh at how needlessly attention-driven the press is, in the sense that they're supposed to be the ones reporting on the action, but they want to constantly be the center of attention in these situations. And I can't help but laugh about that. Just like I can't help but laugh about, you know, going back to Elon, because he's just too hilarious to cover, some of the right-wing freakouts over Apple hasn't really announced anything, but there's been a lot of whispers that the App Store might remove Twitter, which could be catastrophic for the long-term legitimacy of Twitter as a platform. And we had right-wing pundits like Bridget Gabriel, who came out and said, if Apple takes Twitter out of the App Store, Elon Musk should buy them next, ignoring the fact that Apple is the most valuable company on the planet, market cap of like $2.5 trillion. Dude had to go get Saudi finances to back him up on the acquisition of Twitter at $44 billion. How do you think anybody is going to purchase Apple, the most valuable company on the planet?
Hey, he can try, and the Saudis have some money.
They got money. They don't have Apple money. Look, nobody has Apple money, and it just shows how completely out of touch these people are with economic circumstances around the world and how money actually works in these scenarios. So this is Dueling Tangents. We got a fun little pre-holiday show planned today with William and Evan filling in for Luke and Brian today. You got a tangent, throw us our way, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome, welcome back, party people. It is Wednesday, November 22nd. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, and sometimes William and Evan. You got a tangent, throw us our way, 844-967-2789. Something I want to touch on now quick, Ev, getting back to a conversation that you had with Luke yesterday. Obviously, the Republicans have come out in force with the election now secured for them, and new plans on the way for Governor Evers' second term, and Corey Hess from JS Online, or from the Journal Sentinel, excuse me, tweeted the other day that during a WISP politics lunch, Republican leaders asked about Milwaukee County wanting to raise a sales tax 1%, and Voss went ahead and said, revenue without reform is not going to happen. That's why I'm so reluctant to say let's give them the money, because they've been awful in the past managing money. Keep in mind, this is the guy who spent over $1 million on the Gableman investigation, which as of right now, and as of the entire, over the course of the entire investigation, produced no evidence of fraud whatsoever. He might as well have burned that $1 million, because absolutely nothing came of it, and he now has the audacity to be questioning somebody else's money management. What do you think about that, Ev? I mean, I was under the impression that, you know, extending the olive branch by allowing the Republicans to host their little party here in 2024 would make them kind of happy to support the city going forward. It does not seem that is the case, as Robin Voss is immediately jumping right back into, oh, Milwaukee can't manage their money, we're going to have to do it for them, yada, yada, yada. I think it's gross.
Well, it's bad faith is what it is. You know, they don't care about, you know, efficient allocation of funds. That's not something that's not in their Rolodex, as they say.
Well, I mean, we have the $6.6 billion surplus, and rather than allocating it back to the people of Wisconsin, they just want to push a massive tax cut for the wealthiest citizens. So, I mean, at least they're honest about saying they only care about tax cuts. They're just not honest about saying it's not for everyone. It's for the ultra rich who are already proportionately paying less in taxes than everybody else. And I don't understand why so many Wisconsin voters are not able to kind of see through this. I think a lot of them do, obviously, or we wouldn't be having these excellent conversations with so many of our wonderful listeners who have been calling in to share their opinions. But where, like, what is happening to the rest of Wisconsin that they're able to look at a guy like Robin Voss, who, by the way, you know, keep in mind one of his largest, one of the largest pieces of his portfolio is that he is a slumlord landlord in Whitewater, college rentals, you know, desperate kids, essentially, that have to live
it's
somewhere.
It's pretty rough over there.
He's able to charge whatever he wants with dilapidated properties that, frankly, have no business being charging what they charge.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Voss went out a little bit after that statement and said when he was asked about workforce issues that people are staying on unemployment benefits for too long. His exact quote was, "The first thing we have to do is make it so people know they have to work to eat."
I mean, what? I guess he's not wrong, I guess.
Dude, I think that's wrong. I think that's grotesque.
It well, I mean, even... but he's not wrong, right? Like, we do got to work to eat. We got to get that money. But I mean, dude, it's insensitive and really and sort of gross.
This is the wealthiest nation in the history of human species, of human society, of our time as a species. There has never been a wealthier nation.
And we
still
have to work to eat. You know, so in that regard, I do see what he means, like, as far as we live in a cruel, cruel, uncaring, cold world.
Call me naive, but damn, dude, if you're an American citizen, you should get the fundamentals of life provided. And then if you want to enjoy the, you know, special nuances of our advanced civilization, if you want to enjoy some of the luxuries that American society can provide, yeah, you have to earn the money to spend on these type of events. But boy, I wish we could just keep people fed, keep them housed.
Yeah, it'd be nice. It'd be nice. We've got the food part kind of down. You know, even in my city, there are some pretty robust services. But you got to chase them. You got to spend a couple hours a week driving around, filling out forms. It's not fun or easy. And, you know, it's some people find it humiliating. I've gone to the food bank before, not afraid to admit it. And I was glad it was there.
Well, and you show the kind of like the other side of that coin, which is some of the ultra, ultra wealthy people that have more money that they could spend in 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 lifetimes. You got an example that came up very recently, Ticketmaster, right? They are facing potential antitrust investigation now.
As they should.
As they should have years and years and years ago. All it took was enraging the Swifties, I guess. but... finally, the American government is kind of stepping up and saying, like, yo, enough is enough. We're sick of these corporations. You buy from Ticketmaster anytime recently, Ev? You see
no,
how the
No, because it's insane, man. It's, I'm lucky to find a local show for under $50, right? Well, I don't go out to see shows as often as I used to because it's so expensive.
It's not the ticket itself, though. That's the thing. The ticket itself will be like $100, but it'll be fees from Ticketmaster.
And even $100. Oof.
$220, like $275, $300, like three times the price of the ticket.
It's basically a scalping outfit.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, that's 100% what it is. They have bots buy up all the tickets immediately so they can resell them at three, four, five times the face value. And people have to pay it because otherwise you're just not going to go to the show. You know, you want to see this show or not? We have the ability to do something about this. We just choose not to over and over and over again.
Man. Yeah, I don't go to shows anymore. That I will say, Echoes of Pompeii here in the Mad City at the Barrymore a couple weeks ago. That was like a $28 show. I approve.
$28. That sounds pretty sweet. I couldn't tell you the last time I went for.
I mean, I didn't go. I didn't go. I just talked about it on the radio.
Oh, and the fact that you could have gone had you wanted to. That in and of itself is better than the other option. So, this is Dueling Tangents. We got a nice little holiday episode for you today. Luke is out, so Evan and Will are here to play. Give us a tangent, 844-967-2789. We got Jason Hafeman coming on off after the break. We're going to talk about the value of local small businesses and how you can help them help you this holiday season. We'll be right back. See you soon. Welcome back, party people. It is November 23rd. Beautiful November 23rd. And this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian and sometimes Will and Evan. We're going to take a couple calls quick before we get into our juicy third section action. We got CJ on line one. CJ, what's up? How are you doing today?
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you gentlemen. You're actually taking my call. That is so amazing. Oh, yeah, it's not Luke or Brian, though. But you know what? You guys, you speak of, you know, the slumlord, and I just wonder, you guys probably believe in that student forgiveness debt program by the president, too, that's going to be proven unconstitutional. So until you actually, I know you, I guess, let's call you progressive Democrats or liberals, whatever you want to refer to yourself as, sooner or later, people's money are going to run out.
Yeah, that's the problem, man. That is the issue at hand. That's why this debt forgiveness is so important, because people's money is running out.
I love when people defer to the Margaret Thatcher socialism Twitter meme quote without any actual, like, evidence behind it other than, well, it was said by somebody wealthy and famous. Yeah, of course we support student loan debt forgiveness because, you know, that's not actually money in the sense that it's theoretical. They're saying you owe X amount of money. They're not giving this money back to you. It's money that people are saving that they would have had to pay at extremely high interest rates for an education, which, you know, we should want a more educated society. That seems like it would be the basis of a strong, organized group of young people that are prepared to step into the world if you give them this strong education base. We got one more call on the line. Joe from Madison. Joe, how you doing today? What's up?
Well, just a quick one in response to CJ. I'm sure that he's equally upset about the fact that Republicans such as Marjorie Taylor Greene received a ton of money from the PPE loans and have not paid them back. So I'm sure that's number front and center.
That's a great point, Joe. But that's different because that's wealthy people. They're allowed to do that.
Yeah, right. They have an R in front of their name, so it's okay. You know, I was just going to call about the White House wedding, and I just wanted to point out the fact that all sorts of people have been married at the White House, starting with way back there with the sister of Dolly Madison had her nuptials there, and it included 2013, the White House press photographer was married there, Pete Souza. And then I would say that it's less of a story who got married in the White House than what some of the children of the president have done. Now, I would start with the son-in-law of President Trump, who had that nice $2 billion from Saudi Arabia. We're not quite sure what.
Casual $2 billion.
Yeah.
Yes, along with Mr. Trump's $3 billion that he's been accumulating over these months that he's been out of office from countries, business deals with countries such as Oman and Saudi Arabia. And gee, wonder what they want on the other side of that. But the reason I actually called, I wanted to talk to you guys today. If anybody has any bright ideas, this is my tangent. You know, a lot of people watch a movie during Thanksgiving get-togethers. And I got an older crowd here. We've seen A Christmas Story. We've seen the couple of entries in the Sharknado series.
Sure,
and
yeah.
Planes, trains. Well, yeah, for how, yeah, Thanksgiving is perfect. Trains, planes, and automobiles. Anybody else has a thought for me, just whip it at me. I'd love to hear what it's all about. And I'm very much looking forward to your next guest talking about local business, because I would love to be putting my holiday dollars that direction. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe.
Well, I think it's funny that, you know, the NFL and the NBA make sure that they have some good games prepared because they know deep down that most people don't want to be sitting around and just, you know, casually chit-chatting with their extended family. So they give them something that can kind of distract them, like, yeah, we're together, we're hanging out, we're spending time, but we don't have to focus on each other. We can still focus on what's going on in the background.
Well, this is America. It's the choice that matters.
Yeah.
Right?
We have the option to do so. So we're going to jump into our third segment. I think this is incredibly important, especially before the holiday season. We got Jason Hafeman here. Jason, give us a lowdown on some local small businesses and how we can help them and how they can help us to have the best holiday season we can have possible instead of throwing more and more money at these multinational corporate conglomerates.
100%, William, but I digested all of that here in the first couple of minutes of the segment, and I'm feeling a little tangentially adjusted myself. I've got to bring it back. Joe, I don't know if it's a holiday movie, but Three Amigos, highly underrated movie. Some great, dance numbers in there and sing-alongs with My Little Buttercup. I mean, I think that's great for any occasion and should be liked by everyone. Okay, local businesses, William.
I gotta do one more, though. So after you watch the Three Amigos, you got to go on YouTube. You got to pull up the 2002 Friars Club roast of Chevy Chase. Make sure you're a couple deep at that point. But check this thing out, man. It's oof.
Now, the Friars Club is what ended up becoming the Comedy Central roast.
That's correct.
Team
and actually,
well, right?
this 2002 episode, Roast of Chevy Chase, is what changed the zeitgeist, right? Normally, I'm not going to go too far into this. Normally, roasts are sort of a good-natured ribbing, yes? Yep. This was something different. So check it out, guys. It's
because they hated Chevy Chase as much remarkable. As the rest of us do.
Oh, it's remarkable. But yes, please continue, Jason.
I'm a huge Martin Short fan, so you know I just got to give it to
him. He makes an appearance.
Yeah, well, good. Okay, so local businesses. Yeah, Williams asked me a serious question, and it is serious. It's a really important time. We talk about this every week on my show here in Madison. Let's Get Local. Try to get people in that mindset, and I love the fact that this is nationwide now. That there's just a movement, right? We're trying to get people's attention. We've gotten into this case where the big marketing budgets have drawn so much of our attention for so long, and everybody just got thinking of these big box stores, and now with online ordering, it's, you know, gravitating to that too, and you know the giant one we're talking about. But what has happened is that all of these local businesses have banded together, found ways to lift each other up, put themselves out there, and also they have created, because of the pandemic, basically everybody had to get their game together to make easy online ordering, to make delivery possible, to make pickup possible for all customers. So the things you may not have thought were easy with local small businesses now are, but the things you get in value and return by making that choice are well beyond that purchase you're making. One thing is the economic. Let's just talk about economics. Everybody loves that, right? We talked about how some of the... some of CJ's perspectives and others about, oh, well, this loan is okay, but this loan is not. Economics matters to everybody. A strong local economy benefits, yes, that business, yes, your community, but also you. So supporting local businesses, for every dollar you spend at a locally independent-owned business in your community, 72 cents stays in our local economy.
And I'm not to... again, you know, be too cute by half. What happens if that 70 cents leaves, right?
Well, in contrast, Evan, 40 cents on the dollar, if you shop at a big box store, stays local.
Sure. And then you lose those local businesses.
100%. And then we also lose our identity, William. That's the other part. Local businesses give communities an identity. A lot of times those are destination businesses too, right? I mean, it's important. Otherwise, we're just like every other place. If we don't have these local businesses, is what it would look like. We'd all look exactly the same, have the exact same shopping experience, exact same products. Does anybody want that?
I certainly don't. And the other thing I don't want is I want to be able to find interesting quality goods in town, right? And a lot of small towns right now, it's a blight. You walk, you drive through and see the same four fast food places, the same big box store, the same hardware store.
I know, like, I can name probably five or six different stretches of road within 25 minutes of my house that are the exact same four fast food restaurants organized in the exact same structure.
And even without the food, like with
setting the food aside, acknowledging it, but thinking about more, you know, good stuff that you need day to day, they don't have what you need. I cannot tell you how many times lately I've gone out to get just a little gadget, something. You know, I just need something for a project, whatever it is. And it's getting harder and harder and harder to find this stuff in town.
Well, and I think that's the big thing to touch about. We all know the company that we're referring to, but they essentially revolutionized the internet supply chain, right? And it becomes very easy to find the product you need from them. At the same time, there's a lot of questionable cost-cutting measures that they have put in. I did an experiment myself. I purchased the exact same set of headphones from a local retailer. Now, keep in mind, this local retailer, I shouldn't say local retailer because it is still a national chain, but it was they focus on, you know, you come into the facility, you test the products, you get the one you want, whatever you, and then purchase the same headphone online from this other famous national retailer. And the version that I bought online broke 2 weeks later because inside the earpiece, the twisting mechanism was made of plastic, while the one that I bought from the in-store retailer was made out of metal.
Interesting.
Now, I paid $10 more for that, but if it's going to last me 2 years compared to 2 weeks, that $10 is nothing. It's negligible. You are paying for a good quality product that can't get undercut, which is what you're doing a lot of times when you're buying from these massive online retailers who are going to be, you know, they're able to say to the companies that make these products, hey, yeah, we'll take your product, but we're going to sell it at X price. Either you let us sell it at that price or it's not going to be on our shelves. I mean, Walmart did that for years.
And you're talking about like how the one that you bought online was actually cheaper to manufacture. It had plastic parts where there was metal with the sort of...
Which was done on purpose because this retailer says, we're only going to sell your product at X price. Well, the person who makes the product is like, yeah, well, that's... I'm not going to make any money on that. Why would I do that?
And it was the same... That kind of blows my mind. I hadn't thought about that before.
Well, here's where it gets even...
Jason, man, you got to help us.
Here's where it gets even fishier, though, guys. So when I sync that headset to my phone, it has the model number, you know, 950X, yeah, blah, 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 B. And the one that I bought from the online retailer is 950X, blah, 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 M.
Interesting.
So they are the same model numbered product... Mm. But when you really get into the techs of it, they are labeled slightly different so that whoever this provider is can recognize, oh, this is the cheap made one versus, oh, this is the real one. This is the one that's made as it's meant to be.
Yeah, and like trim levels on vehicles, basically.
Yep.
Same sort of type of thing,
same
right?
Thing.
Mm-hmm. Listen, there's a couple of key other things. Like these things that you guys are bringing up are really important to consumers, right? And we're all trying to save money where we can and all of that. And I totally get it. But I want to break through some of the misconceptions out there. So much marketing goes into, you know, these ideas that it's just cheaper to go with this big box store, get everything here. And they might, if you really price check stuff, they might have a few items that are lower cost than other places that might be competitors. But a lot of those items in that store are equal or even more expensive than you might find at, say, a small business alternative or a locally independent business alternative.
They know exactly what to discount.
Exactly.
You know, the little odds and ends people just pick up because, you know, they're in those impulse buy sections of the store. They can make this, yeah, they can sell a bag of M&Ms for 80 cents less than, you know, Woodman's or whatever. But that's not where they're making their money.
No, and let me go a little bit further than that. I have price check stuff. You can find it. And there's some local businesses that will actually price match if you ask them.
Yeah.
On a number of things, including Brothers Main, great local company here for appliances. Another thing that is also out there that's an idea is that's really important, I think, to the customer is that shopping experience. The level of customer service, the experience of customer service, and just people's basically connection or investment in that business that you're shopping at is drastically different when you are an independently owned shop versus a big box retailer.
It's not even comparable, frankly. Yeah. I mean, it's do they care about the customer and want to retain the customer, or are you just another number? Are you just another brick in the wall here to throw more money at us? Like, yeah, you can't compare the two, I think.
And last perspective for you to go local, buy local, be local is... by spending those dollars locally, like I said, you're helping yourself. A lot of the local shops, retailers, restaurants source as a bunch of local items in their stores. So you're supporting that shop, but you're also supporting the other pieces that connect to that particular store, restaurant, right in your community. So you're affecting a lot more lives right close to home. And in addition to that, that might make their year. Your choose to purchase there, your choice to purchase from them, might help them stay in business for another year.
And it might help you get what you actually needed 5 minutes from your house instead of having to wait till tomorrow. Well, I mean, people are so sort of clued into this, but I get it so soon and I don't even have to leave home. You could go get it right now.
Not just the supplies that went into it too, Jason. You know, maybe this independent owner now, their child can join Little League or something this year for the first time. Like, the amount that you're able to help your community by supporting these type of businesses, it's exponential.
Local businesses always give back as well.
They're the ones who care about what's going on in your community. Walmart and Amazon don't. So this is Dueling Tangents. We'll be right back after the break. Nice little holiday episode for you today. Give us a tangent, 844-967-2789. We'll see you right after this break. Welcome back, party people. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, and occasionally William and Evan.
And Jason.
4-9-6-7-2-7-8-9. And today we also have Jason with us. We've had a lot of fun talking about small business and their importance, both in our community, locally, and the kind of difference that they can make within the communities. Personally, now nobody's commented on it. I thought I'd get some questions, but in honor of the World Cup, I did wear my custom Man City jersey. Now, this was made by a local shop, Soccer World in Brookfield. Hashtag not a sponsor. And it is my uncle's store. So he made it for me the last time the World Cup came around. It's, you know, it's custom. That's my name and number on the back and everything. Like, oh, man, I love this.
I'm going to be real. I thought you were just dressed nice today. I didn't even notice it was a jersey. So
seriously,
people, he's onto something. This is one nice piece of shirt.
Well, it shows the value of local businesses, right? Like, if I could go and buy this from some generic online just
for $200
but it would be incredibly expensive and it wouldn't be made with love and care like you could get from some local establishment. So something I want to touch on quick before we end this beautiful Wednesday holiday episode is the Fox News coverage in relation to the Colorado Springs shooting, in particular Tucker Carlson, of course. Who else? Last night he had Jamie Michelle of Gays Against Groomers, who said,
"Oh my goodness!"
She deadass said that the shooting was predictable, and more will keep happening until gender affirming care is banned.
Wow, they're really going for it.
Is that not like a blatant endorsement of terrorism, or am I just misreading this situation? Like, she is.
It's an increasingly loud dog whistle, you know, which is a direct reference for those with that secret knowledge, right?
Yeah. She is quite literally saying, like, until you do something about this, the violence is only going to get worse. Wink, and expecting nobody to care about it. And Tucker Carlson just kind of smiles and smirks and, like, he knows.
They used to just use esoteric language. They would use symbolism and keywords and, I mean, it was to serve that same purpose, to give people with these you know, hateful ideologies an outlet, a connection. And they're getting so just forthright about it. Like, I haven't seen a ton of coverage about this terrible event. And it's, in a way, I'm fortunate. I'm not seeing the offender's name plastered everywhere. I don't know it. And that, I feel like, is pretty rare. If the story happens 1,000 miles away and it gets to us the night of, generally that coverage is beaten and beaten and beaten.
Well, so the shooter, his grandfather is the outgoing California State Assembly member from the Republican Party.
Sure.
God, what is his name?
See, and it doesn't matter. And even in this case, like, I'm grateful for that. You know what? It's almost Thanksgiving. I'm thankful that for once these stories aren't ever present in the wrong ways. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't watch Fox.
Randy Vopel is his name. So he is a hardcore mega conservative, Jan 6th supporter, all that kind of thing. And, you know, this was quite literally his grandson. So if you want to talk about hate not being homegrown, I mean, come on. How many more examples do we need? This starts at the house at a young age, that people spew their rhetoric, their kids catch on, they get indoctrinated by it, right? You want to talk about grooming. And this entire situation, the way that Fox News is handling it, it is kind of like textbook abuse, right? Like, they are they're blaming the victimized community. Mm-hmm. Well, if you would stop doing these things that you're not doing, we wouldn't have to resort to violence to stop them.
Well, you had mentioned indoctrination in a way, and Jason, I'm asking this to you as well. Have you guys heard of PragerU?
Of course.
Jason?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dennis Prager.
So I watched one of these videos, so you don't have to. And I was shocked. I'm shocked. Dennis Prager, you'll see him on Fox News. He's a talented talking head. He knows how to look at the camera and say horrible things. And it's kind of wild. These videos that PragerU produces it's like they're made for six-year-olds, right? They'll have often him talking, and it's the graphics that go along with it. And I wish this was a visual medium. Don't go out and watch this stuff. It's really, truly horrible, and you already know what's in there. But I was sort of dismayed at how, I mean, guys, this propaganda is a triple plus. Oof, it's good.
Well, and Prager's also a big-time advocate of, you know, he talks about how 17 is essentially an adult. Sometimes
yeah, no,
it's
no,
16,
I mean,
sometimes it's 15.
And that's dipping our ankles in the pool, my friend. It gets so much worse.
He's essentially projecting, right? Like, this dude is a pedophile. He has not been shy about his interest in women, in younger women, especially when you consider that he's got to be in his mid-60s at this point. Mm. Like, the guy just wants to take all of his insecurities and the things that he knows is wrong that he supports and kind of blast it on everybody else.
I think that's just a bonus, right? That's a bonus of the job, that he gets to sort of wink, wink, nudge, nudge, you know, his own personal proclivities.
Wasn't it Joseph Goebbels who said, blame the other side for that which you are doing? Like,
oof, oof. Getting too real this Thanksgiving, boys.
I know. I said we were going to have a fun, light-spirited holiday episode, and then I took it too far. That's on me, guys.
No. I brought it up, man.
Look, and what you guys are showcasing here is, as I jump in, is just that something that has made me highly disrespect and lose a ton of respect for Aaron Rodgers and other people that use the media for their own personal shield. Is that, and what you're talking about is what you say matters.
Mm-hmm.
What you say, especially when you have some sort of platform, amplified platform. Which is why I appreciate Civic, which is why I appreciate what we're doing here with this
real
network.
Too. I'm not just saying this because I'm getting paid to stand at this microphone. I'm so grateful that this has happened, right? Guys, we're like 7 months in, something like that. What? July is when we started to really, really push this thing.
Yeah.
And oof, get to see more and more of Will. I mean, all this, it all stems from some pretty talented and hardworking people.
And we're local. We practice what we preach. We've been harping on the value of staying local, staying real, staying with the people in your community, because that's how we protect each other, right? We're all that we really have. We can't compete with the money and the power and the influence that some of these multinational conglomerates have. Like, come on, Elon Musk is out here buying Twitter. How are you supposed to compete with?
I don't
that
even
as a
think he
person?
Wanted to. I know we're basically out of time, but I really think he got stuck with this thing.
But you can reinvest in your own community by looking locally and thinking locally first. So please do.
So thanks for joining us today, everybody. We had a wonderful little holiday episode.
And Jason, yes, thank you.
Got a little more intense than we probably wanted it to be, but Luke covered how to talk to your family yesterday. Hope you're able to spend some time with them, rest, relax a little bit. Take the 4-day weekend to enjoy some time with yourself and your loved ones. So we were glad to have you with us today on Dueling Tangents. We'll see you after the break. Everybody have a great holiday weekend.
Happy Thanksgiving, you guys. Thanks, Jason.